Hello, everybody. Welcome to Within the Cauldron. Wow, says two times in one day.
I know, long time no see.
Right? I can never get tired of seeing you, though.
Me too. And I always love my little niece there, too, yeah. Guiding behind the screen there.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be such a great podcast. I'm so excited. I know these two will give us the best they know of the Ouija board and everything. I love it because where we're going to go out and see John too in September. So
yes, super. Yeah. I'm super excited about that. I can't wait.
It's kind of feel like a family affair in a way.
Yeah, exactly. It's always so great to meet the people that we interview, you know, live in person, you know, as opposed to just a little box.
But tonight's guest, we had her about 3 weeks ago, and she does not get out of the ballpark. I mean, we just fell in love with her. She is incredible, amazing woman. She has done a lot in her life, and she helps a lot of people. She is one of the experts that we're having on tonight. Please welcome Karen A. Dahlman. And Karen, hi.
Hey, Karen. Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely.
Great to be here again. We really had a great time. We had a great conversation. I have no doubt tonight will be the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We need to quiet down the partiness. And from Salem, Massachusetts, he owns the Ouija Museum that's in Salem. I've been to Salem numerous times, so Salem is a very special place to me. Please welcome John Kosick.
Hey, John.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you all.
Good to have you back.
I mean, I feel like it's like a family affair because John, we interviewed you last year. We did Karen 3 weeks ago, and now we're back together again. So. Yeah. So it's
well, should we tell them why we are here together, John and I? You want to tell them why you invited us?
We talked about Karen, and then we're like, oh, we got this great idea. Let's have John come on, too, since we do know John now. And we thought we'd just kind of have the experts tell us.
And we're both with the Talking Board Historical Society. Yes, John is our treasurer, and I'm the secretary there.
That's right.
Yes, and the site is down below. Mm-hmm. At least I hope that's the site. TBHS?
Yes.
Yeah, TBHS.
Yes. So everybody jump over there, look at the site. Also, Rick and Calvin were supposed to be on tonight, but unfortunately they won't be. But they are also the director and is it the...
Vice President.
Vice President, yeah. Yeah. So please read up on those two if you have a chance. But let's just dive on in. Now, we put the question out there on our Facebook page within the cauldron about if you had a chance to ask an expert about the board, what would you ask? Mm-hmm. So we had to kind of skim through some of them because some of them has been answered already by John and Karen last time they was on. But the first question we have is, what would you advise someone who's going to start exploring Ouija?
Would you like to take that, Karen? You are the expert on using the board, of course.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Hey there. Okay, yeah. So if you want to get using this tool, I highly recommend that you think, like John, we were talking about this earlier before the show started, you find a board that calls out to you. Something you feel comfortable with. I personally prefer the boards that are Ouija made. They have the name on them. Although I use a lot of talking boards. Behind me, I have three original Ouija boards. But I resonate with that. I resonate with the history of it. I resonate what it means to me. My first one right here came from Santa Claus in 1973. So it was like a very special item for me. So I go to the boards that are special to me. I have people make me boards. And again, if it resonates, I use them more often. So that's the first thing. Find something that you like. You might like the artwork on it. You might like the intentions behind it. You might like the person who created it. You might just like the company name, the look. Then you're going to feel more comfortable with the board. And when you feel have a level of comfort to do any kind of spirit communication or spirit traveling and dimensions, it's with a tool, it's always great to have that resonance, that vibration that you're like, you're happy to have it. You're not afraid of it. And if you have something you like and you're happy with it, you're probably not going to be fearful of it. And that's going to help you 85 to 90% of the time to get this tool to work. There's many other ways I can get the tool to work, but that's just where it starts. Your own resonance with it, if you like it.
Thank you. One of the questions that I think we had like probably five or six different people. So this one must be one that everybody wants to know about. How do you cleanse a Ouija board when you first get it?
What would you do after you use it?
For me personally, I don't believe it needs to be cleansed. I think the Ouija board, very similar to the way you would a cell phone, which means, you know, with any kind of conversation, you don't need to cleanse it afterwards. But really, your gut instinct is your best instinct. So it's what you believe and what you feel most comfortable doing. So just saging it, smudging it, something like that. I would suggest doing that if it's going to make you feel more comfortable doing it. But a lot of what people consider like rules or ways to use the Ouija board, it's a lot of it tends to be kind of perpetuated from horror movies and things like that. And so I try to suggest to people that just use your gut instinct. It's what you're comfortable doing. And so cleansing it or something like that, you could just get, you know, sage, smudge it, something like that. But if you're comfortable doing that.
Yeah, just like you do any magical item, more or less.
Yeah that's mm-hmm. how I.
Okay. How about protecting yourself from it? I mean, I've heard a lot of people.
I would say protection from the item, but the spirits that you communicate with.
Well, yeah. But how would you protect yourself with the board? Because the question is that someone has a board and they cleanse it, or now they probably won't. Just depends. You know? When they use it, they've always been told to protect yourself, like put some salt around or something, or sage or anything while you are talking to the board. What would you suggest, John?
Well, I mean, it's what they're comfortable doing. To me, the board is just a tool to have a conversation. So it doesn't really have the power. It's just that tool. So, you know, if it comes to protecting yourself, if you want to put a salt circle, if you want to say a prayer before you start, something like that, then of course you should do it. I tell people it's really about your intent using it. It's what you're going to put into it. And positive intentions bring positive results typically. But because I think of it like a phone, you know, I'm not going to break or burn it with a bad conversation. You're just going to hang up. You're going to stop talking. If you feel comfortable saying goodbye, then you would do that. But I often make the joke that I don't say goodbye to most people I talk to in a day. So I don't believe that rule. But again, it's what you're comfortable doing. And so, you know, if you want to say goodbye, then by all means, say goodbye. It's good manners.
Do you have a question, Amy?
Okay, what is your oldest board? I'm curious.
The oldest board I have in the museum is from 1890. And it's pre-Ouija. So mm-hmm. anything before that board would be homemade. But as these kind of boards are evolving and coming about, you got a couple businessmen in Baltimore who decide to make a mass-produced board, and they call it a witch board, very generic name. And a couple months later, a woman named Helen Peters asked the board what it wanted to be called, and it spelled back Ouija. So Ouija becomes the first mass-produced board, but the oldest one I have is slightly before that, 1890, and it's one of only five known to exist today.
Incredible. Have you ever experienced any like paranormal activity with any of the boards you guys have collected?
I have in the museum. There's a lot of weird things that do happen. I can't say it's the boards, but certainly the space for sure. It could be everything from physical reactions people have being in the space to feeling pressure in their head, sinuses, getting dizzy, passing out, people getting sick. But there's a lot of weird things that happen with technology in the museum. Everything from photographs that will film that will come back blurry to eventually Polaroids being blurry or developing and then undeveloping. Batteries draining, pretty quickly in there. So there's a lot of weird things that do happen in the space for sure.
That's incredible. I can't wait to go. I'm so excited.
And Karen, how about you? What was your oldest one? I think you told us last time, but I don't remember.
1892. I have two that are circa. Would be wow. This one and another one. They're right around that 1892, 93, even 91. John's talking about he has one of the original prototypes to the Ouija board. And that's a rarity. I've held that one. At the Helen Peters event, I've taken pictures with it. I posted it on Facebook. It's on my website. It's really it's in such incredible shape. It's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Get to the museum. Get to the Witch Ward Museum of John's. You're going to experience a lot of really cool things. I was going to say about the paranormal activity. I think what happens is we give too much credence to the board, too much energy. It's really ourselves. We're the ones doing channeling. We talked about this last time, remember? Mm-hmm. And I'm more worried about myself, what state I'm in, what space I'm in when I'm doing this work. Yeah. So protect myself from myself. I'm not worried about the board so much. And so really it is like John said, your intentions, it's what you believe is what you'll receive. I always say that with anytime I do the board work or any kind of spiritual work for that matter. So I say it more as neutral. I know John concurs. We've had many conversations about this before. It's really ourselves that we bring to it when we do these sessions.
Do you believe that spirits can get attached to the board?
I believe in psychometry. I believe there's energies around objects. Now, do I believe it gets attached to the board? No, I don't see it that way. I see energy. Yeah, I see energy there. Now, having said that, we ourselves, we don't know how powerful we are, our mental states, our mind is. We can actually create what you could call archetypal energy, constellate that energy to us. I think we talked about that a little bit last time. Mm-hmm. Right. Talk about consciousness, right? All right. So we can attract those energies and constellate it and make it almost into a tulpa. And then we blame it on the board. We blame it on the, there's an energy, an entity. How do we know we're not bringing in that energy?
That's correct. So, right.
Mm-hmm. I really keep an open mind to that and not get so caught up in the fears, the fear porn. Because I love it so much.
I did a cemetery walk yesterday on TikTok because that's what I'm known for. I do a lot of spooky stuff. And people love it. And they are like, are you scared to go walking in the cemetery? I'm like, why?
Exactly. Like, that's my answer. I do the Ouija board in the cemetery on purpose. Yeah. I love it. The energy. It's just like, I'm bringing it in. It gets me in the mood. And I mean, come on.
I think people would be shocked. Like, for example, when I was in Salem, like there's, bodies buried everywhere. Just anywhere else back in the day, we don't know where all the bodies are buried. I'm like, you could be walking anywhere and there could be a dead body and you have no idea.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. I live on Native American land. I know the Hohokam to Oda Odom Indians were here. I know they're, there's probably out here outside my house. You can feel the energy. I feel energies for sure. Yeah, they could be anywhere. It's not just because you're in a space where a dead person died. Right. I have two homes that I've owned over the years where somebody died in the house. Now, they died of a natural death. They knew they were going to die. It wasn't like a suicide. And I got to tell you, those are some of the best homes I've ever had.
Right. I feel like my house is very protective. So,
yes, because you are the one feeling that way.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's you bring your energy in every space. So it's just when you go to work, whatever energy you bring from home comes to work, but you should,
Well, it's like Karen said too, it's like, if you're going to manifest positiveness, then you're going to get positive results. If you're going to, if you're going to manifest negative, then you're going to get negative results. So again, that can happen with even dowsing rods. It can happen with just any tool that you use.
Any divination tool.
Right. Exactly.
Even yourself,
like you said.
And sis, what do you have? I know you have some questions there.
Well, I was going to say, what was your most, we'll start with John first, because I want to hear Karen as well, but what was your most memorable Ouija Experience.
My most memorable is actually just being connected to my grandmother using the board and being fascinated. She learned from her grandmother, and she could fly on the board. She could really could yell out letters and numbers quicker than anyone could write down what she was saying. And so the board she has, the one I have in the museum, my mother used it when she was 12 with her girlfriend Linda and my grandmother, and the board accurately predicted both of their future husbands' names. Lawrence and Dennis.
Oh, that's really cool.
Linda married Dennis like 12 or 15 years later, and my mother, her second husband, 30 years later. So to me, my experience, I guess, would be more of their experiences with having the board and that just being kind of over my head. Sadly, the board doesn't work for me as well as it does for my grandmother. So when I use it, I tend to only ask yes and no questions because it's a much slower conversation. Right. And it's usually if I've made a decision on something, I kind of double check to see if it was the right decision. But my experience from watching them, really.
That's so cool.
I can connect to that because my sister's really good on the Ouija board and she has a great connection with it, but it doesn't work so well for me, but I also see spirits and she doesn't see spirits as often as I do communicate to them. Like, so
what about you, Karen?
I've had so many amazing experiences. It's always so hard to put it down to one. I've had some like John talked about. Probably this is the one that was my turning point. What I mean by that, it really made me see the serious nature of using this tool, that I could use it for therapeutic applications. I could use it for grief, healing from grief. And this story, it is in my book, The Spirits of Ouija, because it's just so powerful. And when I say it, when I tell the story, I get emotional still because that's how powerful it was. I won't go through the whole story, but basically it was when I did the Ouija board blindfolded. And my partner was with me also blindfolded. And we used a larger board. I used to use a smaller one, the 72 Circa. We were using the 1950s board, put it on my lap. I didn't know if it was facing me or her. We were blindfolded. I had somebody else write. And I just said, bring a message through. And there was like 8 or 9 chicks in the room. We were in my sorority. This is back in the 80s. They're like, what are you doing, Karen? You do witchcraft. This is evil, demonic. You're making this up. I said, get in here and watch. So I was so confident in my ability to use this tool because I do use it very, very well and very fast. And I was getting incredible messages. And so we just blindfolded ourselves, couldn't see. A message came through. It came through so rapidly. I had no idea what it said. If you watch me my videos on YouTube, you can see I go back and forth and call it letters A, D, Q, P. This, I'm not doing that. So I'm just like, holding on for dear life. It's going fast. But what happened was only one other person in the room knew this. There was a girl that was sitting there, started crying. The message is for her. She had a sister who had died just a few years before. Only one other girl in the room knew that, not us at the board or spelling. So somebody else knew that, and her sister came through. Legible, intelligent message about telling her, tell mom and dad I'm okay, my boyfriend's okay. She was killed in a car wreck, and her boyfriend was too, early 20s. And this gal was like 19, you know, her sister was alive, and she had another sister and her parents. Well, they knew me, her parents knew me. She went and told her parents, and her parents were like, it lifted this grief. We had so much grief in the room that day. She cried sobbingly. We all cried. And then I said, that's it. No more fun and games. I don't need to prove anything. Although I wanted to prove I could do it blindfolded. That's the first time ever I did that. I thought it was pretty cool. But that wasn't the reality. The response was, look at how this tool can reach through time and bring through a beautiful message, and that love continues on in the afterlife.
Yeah.
So that was it for me. And it that put me on this Ouija board odyssey where I was like, I'm doing it forever now. 53 years later, ladies and gentlemen, I'm still using this tool because of those kind of messages. And that's not just one time. I get these kind of profound, life-affirming messages all the time when I use the board.
That's incredible. That's really incredible. Yeah.
There's nothing to be afraid of. It's amazing what you can get with this tool.
I like that idea. It's almost like an Estes Box session when you put the, you know, the blindfold on and the noise canceling headphones and, you know, that kind of thought process is with the Ouija board, with the blindfold. I love that idea, actually. Now I'm already concocting what the next paranormal experience is.
Looking at something else, I think you'll get a kick out of this. So another thing, I've done a lot of experiments on the Ouija board. I did them in old places. They tell you not to do them. And we call those Ouija-stitions, right, John? Ouija-stitions. I've done them all there. But here's another thing. I've sat at the table before doing a session. I used to host people in my house, open message session. I go, don't even ask your question out loud. Ask it in your head.
Yeah.
Messages came and they're like spot on. This is only if I'm working with somebody who uses the tool with me all the time, which I've developed many great board partners over the years. So there's that consistency. We've already built up our energy and we already know how to channel. And we're both in the same wavelength in terms of being positive about this tool. I've done this many times. And I'm saying I've done it because it's not the tool. It's not the board. It's, we talked about this last time. I'm channeling. The operator of the board is channeling and my partner's channeling and together we're channeling and bringing them messages. Then I don't know how that works, but it can read people's minds and give them answers. So that is another really cool experiment to work with.
That is really cool. Thank you for telling me that one too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know when we always work with them, we always have somebody off to the side who doesn't want to touch anything. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, they're just like, no. But they will go ahead and be the writer with, you know, yeah. A, B, whatever, you know, to help us. Because, yeah, like you said, it does go fast.
It's hard. I do it all myself because it's the way I learned to. I taught myself this technique to check out. I go into this trance, almost like hypnotic trance, where I'm just focusing on the letters and sound and the words coming through. I don't guess them. I don't, because I want it to be a talking board. I don't want to be me guessing board. It's a talk. It talks to me. So I'm going like this one finger and then back and forth. And this actually, A, T, Q, it actually allows me to go into a trance. And it's like I'm in a very relaxed hypnotic state. I'm aware. It's not like I'm trance.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah. That has helped me work this tool better over the years. I think that's why I've been so successful, because I can get myself in that other state where I can allow messages to come.
Yeah.
Okay. I can actually see that. Yes. Mm-hmm. And your next question, hon?
What convinced you that the Ouija readings were genuine? I mean, it sounds like that Karen nailed that one with what she just talked about. But what about you, John?
that the messages are genuine? Is that the question?
Correct. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, I think because I had such a strong relationship with my grandmother, and I would never, watching her use it, I would never think for a second she was making it up or anything like that. So to me, it's I believe it because I saw it, and I trust someone I trust extremely well. So, you know, I've never heard anyone tell me a Ouija story where I thought they were lying to me. You know what I mean? So you ask anyone a Ouija story, and I don't believe they're making any stories up. You know, so to me, it's proof. Obviously, the boards work. I don't think you know you sell millions of these things, outsells Monopoly if they're broken. So yeah, clearly they work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. Do you have one?
Okay. So, if I was going to shop for my first Ouija board, which one would you tell me to get,
John?
Oh, well, I would talk. You're going to get your first Ouija board.
My all first right. one. It's my. I've all never right, done it before.
I'm going to start one. With what your beliefs are. First of all, if you flew to Salem, are you bringing this home in a suitcase or did you drive out here?
I'm going to bring it home in a suitcase on the airplane.
Okay. And do you have a price mind? Your price in mind? You know, do you want to keep below a certain budget?
we're getting into it now, guys. Brass tacks.
I do this a lot.
He's putting one on hold for you right now.
Yeah, you don't. These are things for you to think about. So when you come out, you don't have to answer them. But if you want to think about, do you have a price in mind? Mm-hmm. Do you want something brand new, or do you want antique? Do you want something brand new because maybe you might be concerned that maybe something might be attached to it, or do you want something antique with something history? Do you want a wooden board, something that's older and closer to the earth? Do you want a homemade board, something that's love and energy might have been put into making it? Are you drawn to the different, you know, designs? Do you care if it's a stencil looking board, or do you want some, you know, beautiful artwork, maybe lithographs from the 40s? Do you need to have the original planchette with the board? Does the original planchette have to have the lens in it? Do you care if you consider that broken if it's missing? So those are the things that I talk out with people to get them into the right board. But And there's a lot more to it based on what you believe. And again, some people, I just dealt with it today right before I left, they needed to touch the boards. They needed to physically touch them and see if they felt the connection to them. Yeah, and one of them did buy a board that they kept calling back to. I showed them probably 15 different boards, but they kept going back to the first one that they were drawn to pick up themselves. So those are things that, you know, when you come out to buy a board, I can talk it out with you and show you what's available at that time and get you into the right one. Because like Karen said, you want to find the board that you're most drawn to use, that you feel connected with. That's going to be the best board for you.
I think I would want something vintage, maybe a tat.
Probably, yeah. If I knew, yeah. Maybe the first one.
I just want them too.
Well, we have several that we kind of go back and forth.
Throughout our life.
Yeah, we have several. And then we have one now too.
Yeah.
And everything that we got when we was out there in 2024 that we bought.
Yeah.
I don't know where we bought it from. I can't remember. I think it was from the mall. We got it from one of the stores of the mall. But
our friend Bill at Bewitched. That's my guess.
Probably.
I think it was Bewitched.
Witched in Salem. Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It was. Yeah. We went there.
Well, I want to say, I'll use Target boards. I've never met a board I didn't like. I have so many boards. I bought boards that are damaged. They're cut up. They people put use it as a coaster, the cutting board, because that's part of the beauty, part of the story of the board. And I use those. Every board I have, I use or have used. I make boards. I make them out of pizza boxes or cardboard or a piece of paper. People send them to me that they make. I have never met a board that I couldn't use, couldn't get it to work. This right here, my mouse pad, is a Ouija board. I use it.
Love that.
I can use your purse. I can sit down with your purse with a mini planchette and have it spell out stuff. I could put just letters on a piece of paper, and I've done this many times in demonstrations when I'm teaching how to do that. I just take a paper sack, I open it up, I write just the alphabet real quickly, the numbers, and I call it, you know, Trader Joe's Satanic Sacks, and then I use them. And I love Trader Joe's, by the way. I love Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's my favorite store. I'm telling you, you could use anything. One of the things you might want to do, and I love that John's going to fit you to your board. He's good at doing that because he has a great collection. I suggest you just start using the tool now. If you have some, start working it, because it's going to take patience, practice, perseverance. I call it 3 P's. You really got to get used to using it, because whatever board you have, it's going to translate to the next board. I have the wickedest boards with all these satanic symbols on them. I actually appreciate, and I can use those just as good. And my guides come through whatever board I use. Doesn't matter which board it is. We got to remember how empowered we are. We are the driver of this tool. It's like driving a car. We are the driver. We're the operator. Mm-hmm. And that is what makes it work. Our own connection to the other dimensions and being able to channel, to open up. That's what allows you to make these tools work. And all those boards are going to be beautiful. Whatever board you get, trust me, you're going to love it, and it's going to work.
Well, I just answered his question. So when I go see him, I'll have my answers right here. I'll be like, okay, question number one was that. Question number two, I got it right here.
Exactly. And you know what? Buy 2 boards if you like 2 boards.
Yeah.
I've got 85. Exactly. I have the least amount of boards in the Talking Board Historical Society. John, Rick, Kelvin, Bob, all those guys have hundreds to thousands. I only have 85. And I never started collecting boards until about 15, 20 years ago, because I only needed 1 board. It was that board from Santa. I only need 1 board.
Now when I go to Salem, I'm going to have a Ouija board budget.
You're going to have to. Girl, you're going to have to. I will buy boards for $600,000 sometimes. Right? So be careful.
Yeah.
We have some comments from Doc Agamas. Are there specific entities you refuse to engage if they identify themselves?
Do you want me to take that, or John?
Either one.
Okay. Well, let me say this. When I work on the board, I channel what I call the guides. These are my higher spirit beings. They come through every session. I say, you can't come through. If there's rules of engagement, okay? Rules of engagement are, we're not going to cuss at each other. We're going to be kind and nice, you know, unlike social media these days, right? So I'm going way back. I'm doing social media in the beginning days where everybody was kind and nice and liked things. Okay, so what I make sure is I have rules of engagement. If I get anything that comes through negative, and I've told you about one story I had, I just wipe it off, start over again, click. And when I did it one time, it's like hanging up the phone on a crank caller. I never had it again. I don't tolerate that behavior. I don't tolerate it in my life. And I sure as hell don't tolerate with the other dimensions. So right. Anything can come through. I don't care if they told me the Dark Lord, the third ring of the underworld of satanic, whatever. I'd be like, what do you have to say? If their message, it's their message. If their message is beautiful, positive, I'm willing to listen. But when I get on the board nowadays, it's for a reason. I'm usually researching some information. Somebody has a question to ask, or I want to do a little further digging into like maybe orbs or something else. And so there's a purpose. Get errant spirits. In this book, I did talk about those that come through because I just was new using the board in the early age of 8 and 10, 12, 20, you know, but it didn't matter. I still kept the same requirements and rules of engagement when they came through. You know, if let's say somebody called me the phone and go, blah, 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 done. I'm going to put more energy into it. That's what I do. it doesn't matter what their names are. I've had spirits come through and say,
I'm a demon.
I'm like, oh, okay. Is that spelled D-A-E-M-O-N like a daemon? Well, then I know I got your type. See, you know, there's things like that. I don't get afraid of it.
Right.
But if something comes through and cusses at me or is rude, that's my energy connecting. I need to check myself. I need to see what I'm not being positive about. What you perceive and what you believe. I really, really believe this, and I use those rules when I do this work. So yeah, I'll talk to any energy that wants to come through as long as it stays in an uplifted spirit place.
Right. I think that was perfect, Karen. You know, I would only add that, like, you know, if you don't like that conversation, you hang up the phone, like Karen said.
Right.
But nothing to fear. I think people that sometimes might think like, you know, you can bring something through or something like that. I think mm-hmm. people get worried about that. And to me, no, you're channeling it. It's going through you. And when your hand's not touching the planchette, the conversation's over. And, you know, you can ask any board that I have in the museum with planchettes on them. They don't move on their own. So you have to be part of the conversation. So, you know, I think people look for that negative to associate to the Ouija board a lot of times, whether it's because of horror movies or playing around with it when they were younger and not taking it seriously. So I think people tend to think that if something negative does happen afterwards, after a conversation, they're naturally going to try to blame the Ouija board. Right. And, you know, to me, it's not. You know, it's just like a phone. Like Karen said, you hang up, try again, get another conversation.
That's right. Simple as that. People write to me and go, well, then it said this, and then it said this, and they went on for 30 minutes. I'm like,
yeah.
Why would you sit there and take that abuse? Would mm-hmm. you in life? They're like, no. I go, then don't. Stop.
Yeah, it's like we have spam filters.
Yeah. Right.
I don't take my spam calls. Your name is on top of my phone. I'm not answering.
Right. Yeah.
So leave a message. I might get back to you.
Right.
Yeah, you're just feeding them. You're just feeding that.
That's right. You're feeding the energy. For why do it? So that's, I mean, John and I are very matter of fact about this. In fact, everybody at the TBHS is, we have all these boards around us all the time. John lives there all the in his house, in his store. I have them all over the place here, the same thing. And I have positive experiences, actually. But I'm not going to say it's because of the board. It's probably because of me.
Right.
I see things. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I had all positive experience when I have used the board. One thing that I know when I first started using the board about over 30 years ago, somebody told me about the planchette. Never have the planchette with the board. Now, is that true or is that false?
John?
It's true if you believe it. You know?
True. That's the answer right there.
Yeah. It's true if you believe it. So again, it goes back to your gut instinct. It's what you're comfortable doing. And if it gives you peace of mind to say, hey, I want to separate these things when I'm done, then you should do that. But I mean, clearly I have Ouija boards with planchettes sitting on them in the museum. There's no conversation. If you're not touching the planchette, there's no conversation. But again, if you feel comfortable doing it, I know people that when they're done with it, they'll turn the board upside down, put it back in the box. They'll mm-hmm. put the planchette on one side and they actually take the lens out of the planchette and put it over there.
And again, that's a new way, John.
Yeah. So if you feel comfortable doing that, then do it. You don't want to be, you know, worried that you've done something wrong. So then just do it. But I don't believe that myself. But again, it's what you believe.
Well, that's a lot of work, though, taking the lens out and everything.
You might crack the lens by accident. I've had some lens that cracked. It's your comfort level. And if by all means, if you want to take your planchette off and put it away, I have a planchette that came with this board from 1973. It's my favorite planchette because it was the original one, the brass tab that comes in and out. Kids could have swallowed them and killed themselves back then, but they didn't care. I do put it in a box only because I don't want to crack the glass, it's the plastic, or lose that brass tab. Now, you guys, I moved a lot in my younger years. My dad was military. We're moving every 2 to 4 years. I would put tape on that, put it in a box. I have my original box. I would take care of that because I didn't want to lose the planchette. I didn't want it to break. So I have that ritual. So really, it's whatever ritual you're comfortable with these tools, whether you put them away, some people put them back in the box, got to put them in the closet, put a black wrapping around it. Mine are out my walls. At any moment, I can pull one down and use it. I have them everywhere. And I leave planchettes on them. A lot of times I hang them on them because I think it looks cool. And right. I see John right there has one behind him with the planchette leaning up against the board. You see that? Because we like to display them. And so I will hang them on my boards. And it becomes part of the artwork. It becomes part of the mystique.
Yeah.
It's a talking point. So people come into my home and they go, huh, that's weird. Well, it's interesting. Oh, we'll tell you about it. And then, like John said, you start talking about it, they're like, what? I didn't know there were such cool things about these tools. And then they want to sit down and use them with me. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's when you start hearing the history of these, the facts behind them, how the artwork on them have changed, all the different types and subtle shifts and changes on these boards and who owned them, you start having an appreciation for Americana history. Mm-hmm. And it becomes this really beautiful thing. And I know we talked about this a little bit before, but that adds to the idea of wanting to use these tools. Because it is full of rich history in the United States.
Adds to the charm of it.
Yep.
It does. And when John's asking you, you know, what kind of board and how much money and what's the look and all this stuff, he's really trying to help you fulfill that, what's going to, you know, work for you in terms of that charm that you want.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
I know my son. I am so excited for you. You're going to have to send pictures, do a whole video filming it, put John on the video too, drop it
on the
tag me. I'll be all into it. I love it.
Well, I'll be there with our photographs of our boards, you know, and we'll post it so, and tag John and Karen so we can share. I'm thoroughly excited.
Oh, so I am so excited for you.
Yeah, I know my son, when he puts his board away, he wraps up in black silk. I mean, he takes really good care of it because he's like, you know, if the board knows I'm taking good care of it, then it's going to work for me. It's going to be mine. It's going to know I'm the owner. I'm the person that's going to work with it. And, you know, he loves his board.
We love our board. It becomes ceremonial. That black wrap, that's like a ceremonial, magical magician kind of thing.
Right.
And I always tell people, they go, well, how do I do this? I go, bring your current rituals into your sessions. And if that means wrapping your board, I like put mine back in the box or some bags or on the wall. Depends where they are. Okay. That's my ritual. And I love to pass by them every day and look at them and go, yeah, I've had some fun with that board. Oh, I love that. You know, I think of that, but that's a ritual, and bring your rituals to this. Make it fun. Make it your own. You don't need to do, I write about my rituals in my books and stuff just to give people ideas. But the reality is, and John's been saying the same thing, really bring to it what works for you and what you believe will work for you. Your beliefs have 85-90% to do with making this tool work again. Really, it's that high. The rest of it is just really learning to open yourself up to channel.
Well, it's like tarot cards. I mean, it's just tarot cards, you know. I mean, I'm a newbie, but I use them and I do the same thing. It's like, I probably am going to ask John, can I touch it? Can I feel it? Because that's the way that's how I resonate with the cards, to know what's going to work for me in the tarot cards versus, you know, somebody buying them for me. So same thing. I'm like I said, I'm super excited. I can't wait. I can't go. I want to go in. I want to touch. I want to feel. I want to learn, you know. So
this is going to be a new arsenal for you. You're going to go to the whole, seriously, it's going to be so much fun. I love having my little, my tricks in my bag, my goodies, which are all the different tools you can use. I love, right. I have so many Oracle decks and Tarot decks, and those I actually put back in little bags. I just like them in bags. But I have a little ritual, I guess, with them too. But I have to feel my tro cards too. I'm with you. I have to feel them before I get them. Ouija boards, I see it. It's sight. It's artwork. I'm like, want it. That one's messed up. I want that one. That one's bent. Okay, that one's cool. That one's old. This one, you know, whatever it is. I have different reasons at different times when I buy a board. And they all have a story that they come with. You know, they tell you is a story behind it. And I don't care if I actually really know the story. It's like I can feel it. I can see that board's been used. Maybe the wrong reason.
Maybe you should take the day off on the third when we arrive there. So we just, you could just spend it with us. All by ourselves. So you can go through the history of all the boards and everything. Because I know with sis and my daughter and myself and a couple of friends, we're going to be there touching and
John
trying
will
to get
do that.
And yeah, we'll probably be there all day. He's going to say, oh, guys, I got a customer.
He's going to be like, wait, I got to go. It's time to go home. I'd like to
He's
have
like,
dinner.
I got
to
open it 10 hours early.
We buy you dinner. We buy you dinner.
John, and we're both so passionate about this. No doubt in my mind, I know John will do that.
I already know what Medium Red's going to, I know the first board I'm going to show them now.
I'm so excited.
I already
John.
Know.
Do you want to say it or not? You're going to keep it hidden?
Oh, yeah, sure. Tell me, because I'm going to
if I have it in stock,
I'll probably know the board.
If it's in stock, it's going to be the 1967 Frankie Obano Tarot Wheel board.
Oh, my God.
The alphabet is in the center. It's in a circle.
Beautiful.
And it has the Rider-Waite Tarot deck around the edge. Not all the cards, but and so it incorporates tarot and talking board.
Oh, wow.
That's a lovely
We're excited. All right, I gotta write that down to remind you, or will you remember?
Red, you're gonna be buying two boards, I predict.
I know.
Already.
Yeah, I know I'm gonna buy two. I already know.
That's my psychic hit for you tonight.
Yeah, no, and you nailed it. You nailed it, because I am. I'm like, I want something old and I want something new. So there
and
you
that's
go.
Exactly
you already
I felt.
Hit on the old, so that's perfect.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm so excited. So 1969.
67.
And then you're not gonna put it away. You're gonna have to have it on display because these
well,
really
I
are
will.
Beautiful pieces of artwork.
I know. Mm-hmm. I told my husband. I said we need to move and get a bigger house because I want to put stuff on walls.
Listen, that's what I did. I have a lot of artwork, and my boards are my artwork.
Yeah.
I got a bigger place for my artwork everywhere. That's
right.
My boards.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to change artwork around the house. It always confuses the heck out of him. I'm an interior designer. I mean, that's my degree is interior design, but you know, made a career change, and so you know, I change things out all the time in the house, so that drives him up the wall. If you ever watch Dick Van Dyke, you know he's Dick Van Dyke. He comes in, he thinks he can trip over the ottoman, but he doesn't trip over the ottoman. Or the next time he comes in, he trips over the ottoman. So,
oh my god, that's so funny. It's like a cat or a dog. You interrupt their system because you move a piece of furniture, and now they got to go look at it and be curious about it.
Exactly.
Funny. Well, I have a question. When customers comes into this museum, and what is one of the most common questions they may ask you?
Well, I mean, typically when people come through, I give a pretty good tour of like the general history and things like that. So I constantly ask what people have for questions because I really want to guide to what I think you're interested in. And I might meet people who are into practicing law and they want to talk about patent infringement or trademark infringement. I might people that want to just talk about spiritualism and the burned over district. So I really kind of cater it to what I think people want to ask. But I guess when I go through and I keep asking at the end, I think one of the first questions is what's my favorite board, or how did I get involved? Like how did I meet somebody whose whole life is talking about Ouija boards, who has been doing this long enough that like he's still just as excited as he was, you know, 7 years ago. And so I think those are probably my two most popular questions that I get.
I would have thought like somebody walking in the door would have been like, are they demonic?
Oh, well, I'm sure John gets that.
Yeah, I came in there with that.
Is it safe to walk in here?
Actually, surprisingly, you know, I'm in a bubble. I'm in Salem. I'm in a very open-minded area where people, even if they're very nervous to be around Ouija boards, they at least paid admission and they came in and they left their comfort zone. And I don't take that lightly at all. I'm very thankful that someone would want to be uncomfortable to want to try to learn something more that if they were afraid.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it doesn't happen a ton, but it does happen. And I almost never get any kind of negative. Someone that's like, oh, this is evil. It's bad. Mm-hmm. And if I do meet that people, like I'll use an example of like a bachelorette party where 15 people come in and one person at that party is just not into being in Salem at all, let alone the museum. And if they are the people that are like, it's negative and evil, then I will probably feed them that information. I will definitely go down the story path of like murders and suicides associated with the Ouija board, where at the end of those stories, I would normally tell the average person, yeah, the Ouija board's not to blame for any of these stories. Let's talk about it.
Right.
I might just tell them the bad stories and let them only think that. Because, you know, but in general, I really don't deal with that. I deal with people that if they're nervous, they come in and they've really wanted to try to find out more about it. And I can tell you, like I joked about, I think before the show started, was the people who are the most scared, the people that are most nervous, mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee you in a funny way that they'll want to buy a Ouija board when I'm done talking to them.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you can only go so far to convince somebody differently. You know, it's like being a medium. I'm sure Karen can say this too. It's like, I'm not there to try to convince you that I have a connection to the spirit world. You know, I'm here to deliver the messages. And so therefore you take what you want, you know, so exactly. I get it. Totally.
Exactly.
With the TBHS, the talking board, was it Talking Board Society?
Historical Society. And I've got the TBHS pin on right now. I don't know if you can see it. It glows in the dark. It's one of our pins.
I love that.
They're super. John will probably have some pins there you can get.
Oh, cool. Good.
Cool.
I will, yeah.
And shirts. We have all kinds of really fun. Our old TBHS shirts and stuff, they're really cool. Some glow in the dark with hands and the Ouija board. Yeah, you're gonna walk away with a lot more stuff than you. Bring a good budget. Get two board trees.
So, in other words, bring another... Yeah. Credit card.
Oh yeah, you're gonna have a good time.
You have to bring another suitcase so that we can check that one, and that'll have all our goodies in it.
What I do is I don't check where my boards are. I carry that on. That's the one. I don't want anybody to touch my boards.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose my boards. I don't want anybody to open my suitcase and go, "What is this witchcraft?" You know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You gonna blow up the plane with a Ouija board?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So what can you tell us about the Talking Board Historical Society? Sell us on going to the website or going there. And I mean, what can you say about it?
John?
We're a registered nonprofit. We research, preserve, celebrate the history of these boards. And most of the information you find online about them is really from the research that we've done. And we've celebrated it by, you know, when we uncovered someone like Helen Peters, who was a woman who named the board, proved work to the patent office. She was written out of history for over 100 years, and our research rediscovered her. We were able to put a headstone in for her. Her name wasn't added to the original headstone. Elijah Bond, who patented the Ouija, he's a guy that was buried without a headstone as well. We put a headstone, we helped raise money for that. Just bringing awareness to Ouija boards, not just the history of it, people using them, and really celebrating it in any way we can. And I think we do that in some pretty interesting ways. You know, we've done fun things like, you know, Rick, the vice president of the TBHS, he made the world's largest Ouija board back in 2019. And we unveiled it in Salem. It broke the world record, 2.5 times larger than the previous record, the roof of a hotel in Pennsylvania.
Oh, it's huge, you guys. It was huge. 99 ply boards.
Yep.
John and I were there. We put it together with Rick and Calvin. Yeah. It was an incredible deal. It was fun.
Yeah, so I mean, we are the group that really is doing the work to, you know, try to uncover the mysteries of the Ouija board and the history to it, and just celebrate and get everyone excited about it. So, but that's who we are.
We actually saw that that time we was in Salem.
Oh no way! Amazing.
Did you come out in person?
Yeah, we came out.
Did you talk to us?
No.
We just want to do the whole time and Rick and Calvin.
Wow, this is, you know, this is really, you know, neat and everything. And we was wondering, you know, does this mean that the spirits would come in bigger and faster? And more?
You know? You guys, the planchette was 15 feet long.
Holy wow.
People got inside of it. We had wedding parties on there. We had people, right, John, we had so much fun on there. All these groups came out, took photos, and it's all over. It was all over Instagram. And
engaged. I got engaged
on this. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was very, very crowded, but you know, Salem is always crowded anyway.
The funny thing about WeDazilla is when we were there, it was up for about 30 hours. We had
a
couple days to put together. But it was such a positive experience. Everyone from the neighborhood, everyone who was visiting Salem in October, everyone loved it. There was not one negative thing that I heard. And I walked away from the event being like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I can't believe this many other people are as excited as Ouija boards as Karen, myself, and the rest of the group. This is amazing. And then a couple months later, you know, memes started coming out.
We should have that picture to show them, John. That is so freaking funny. I use it in my presentations. John, tell them. It's great.
Yeah, so at some point, they had a picture of Karen and the group, all of us in the planchette, with Cthulhu kind of behind us. And we were responsible for COVID and things like that that happened months later. And again, it's a classic of the Ouija. Someone's always going to try to associate negative to the Ouija board. Right. And here you are associating, I don't know, 4 months later, 5 months later, something that happens to something earlier. But it struck me really strange because I was so proud and happy of the response that we got. And then only months later, it'd be like, when it hit online, we get a bunch of people who are more miserable. They probably, you know, don't travel or like what? And they said negative things. I was like, wow, I was just shocked by that response. Not everyone, but you know, from seeing those memes and stuff, whereas the actual event was so positive.
Oh yeah, it was a big event. I mean, there was we saw it and you know, oh, that's so cool, and you know, looked around it and everything, but there was so many there that it was like, oh my gosh, you know. But it was, at least I can say I saw a huge board.
I'm so glad you came to that. I didn't know you were there when we spoke before, because as John said too, it was, I mean, I flew in from, I was in California, I flew in from the other side of the coast for this, to put it together and take it apart and all the work. And it was our, you know, it's our group. I want to support our group and just what we're trying to get out to the public. But the smiles, kids and families and parents and pets, it was not, I was like, wow, this is so much fun. It was like a party, you guys. I'd be up early in the morning. We get there like at 6 a.m. and people still come in with their coffees and want to talk to you about the board. And it was just, it was beautiful. And the meme is, and Rick liked the meme because it's funny. The meme is actually hysterical, you know, to give us that kind of credence that we kicked off, you know, COVID. The thing is that, you know, you're somebody if they take it and make it into something that big. So we saw the humor in it and we kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I know on the site, the talking board historical site, I think it was Rick that was inside of the planchette.
That's that, Rick. He's the one that made it. That's right.
Yeah. Wow. How long did it take him to make that?
It was a solid year and a half that he did. He had a garage at his tattoo shop. And basically, he'd take a panel of wood, he would mount it on the wall, and he would project the image onto it, and he would hand paint each panel.
Wow!
And he would send us update videos to show us. You could see his breath while he was painting. It was so cold, no heat, no air conditioning in the garage. A hair dryer to dry the paint, and his family had to help him. At one point, he was almost crushed to death because you know their each sheet was 90 pounds. You know, he had a couple stack of them. He moved them, and they pinned him against the wall at some point. His little wife, you know, Kate, tried to move him off of him. And but it was a year and a half of dealing with it, of painting it. And then luckily, Ripley's Believe It or Not got involved. Mm-hmm. And so they helped truck it up to Salem. Right. And then they're the ones that acknowledge it as the world's largest. But,
It's incredible.
I think found a picture. Oh, so I'm probably not the best picture here. But let me see here. If I bring it up.
Now, I did this really fun video. It's on my YouTube page, and it is about Ouijazilla. That's the name of it. It's Ouijazilla. And I took a moment and went away with John to his museum, and I filmed John in the museum. You can see the whole experience of setting up, what it looked like, the people that were there, and then I go see John's museum, then I go through the graveyard, and I go to the graveyard on the way home. I do this whole experience. If anybody is interested in seeing that, it's just Ouijazilla and my trip to Boston or something like that. It was incredible.
So where's the board now? Once it's been dismantled, is it back with the artist now?
It's back in storage in New Jersey. However, we have taken the planchette, went out to Michigan Paracon just a couple of years ago.
And a few pieces of it too, John.
Yeah, a couple of pieces. Yep. But it's back in storage in New Jersey. It was supposed to go, the next place it was supposed to go was the Denver International Airport. And for anyone that's not familiar with the Denver Airport, you can go online and read a lot of crazy conspiracy theories about, secret military bases underneath or the Illuminati building it. But they wanted to put it either on the tarmac, so when planes fly overhead, they could look down and see it. Or there's a sculpture when you drive to the airport called Lucifer.
The horse.
A red glowing eyes and a blue painted horse. The sculpture killed the sculptor, fell on him and crushed him to death. And they thought about putting Ouijazilla by Lucifer. COVID did put everything on the sidelines because the airport was going to build some museum cases in the terminals where we would do a display. And then less people were traveling. So right now it's in storage, and we're excited to bring it out wherever people want it next. But it's no small.
It's a lot. We have a whole framework. It sits on. You don't just lay boards on the ground. We build a framework. It sits on. I mean, it's got to be sturdy. People can't fall. I mean,
wow.
It is a lot of work, and I'm there to do it again when we're ready.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Thank
you. I can get a save here.
Denver airport.
I would love to see it at the Denver airport. I'm all for that.
I just hate
looking
Denver
down and out. I would be so happy to see that.
Put it at Sky Harbor.
I would dig that in Sky Harbor. Oh yeah.
Okay. This is the only thing I can come up with. Do you guys see that? I don't know if you can.
I see nothing at this point. Just ourselves, not. Oh. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
You had it.
Yeah.
It went away, but you had it for a second.
Yes.
Well, we had a little fire there for a moment.
Okay, here we go. Oh, yeah. There it is.
Wow.
Look at that. Huge. Look how big it is, you guys. Look at the size of that.
That is incredible. Yeah.
This is from a Facebook page that I'm on about Salem, Mass. So,
I love that. That is so incredible.
This picture doesn't really do it justice, actually, but
it doesn't. But you get an idea how big it is. Look at the people. Look at the size of that.
Yeah, board. You could look like little ants.
But we were ants compared to the board.
Right.
And you could walk on the board. You could push the planchette around. It rolled. I mean, it was incredible. Yeah, this whole thing was operational. I mean, it was pretty amazing. I mean, no, it was extraordinarily amazing.
Right.
Okay, let me get off this.
Hey, George, do you still sell the Ouijazilla t-shirts?
I do. I have some at the museum still, yeah.
Okay. They have the Ouijazilla t-shirts are really bitching, okay? We got Godzilla in the back. I mean, and John, so John sells a lot of our... He gets my book sometimes. He has a lot of our TVHS products and stuff there. But Rick and Calvin are incredible artists, and they design our t-shirts for us. So there's a lot behind what we give to the public. Love original stuff to the public.
Yeah,
the artistry.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Love that. Oh my gosh.
We do too. We love it.
Did you find more, Chrissy, or no?
I'm going to post some on my
TikTok too. I'm trying to get this big picture here.
You can find that meme. The meme is hysterical.
It says it's copied, so let's see if it's copied or not.
Yeah, I had to beg two of my friends who worked in construction. Yeah. I had to beg them to call in sick to work to like come and help us put it together because We hit a nor'easter the first day and started like downpouring.
You guys, it was cold. It was horrible.
You know, Rick did a great job painting it, but I can't say any of us are like super mechanically inclined or anything.
Oh no, so John, you remember the board? We're like pound it, try to get it straight. And then your friends come in and start nailing it together.
Do you guys see that? Hang on.
Not yet.
It should be there. Come on.
There we go.
Oh, there we are.
There we go.
It was just huge. I mean, walking around, it felt like it was like a half hour or so.
And for size, it is the board. It is to scale. That is the board. And then we have advertisers around the edges of it. Rick is the one with the white construction hat. He's the mastermind behind painting this. Mm-hmm. But John and I and Calvin, we're all in there. And we have all of our friends and helpers that came out. I mean, it really does take a village.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
It takes a whole town to put this together.
Yeah, right.
We have great support.
I'm in the planchette. There's a picture I'm online, too, and I can see that. He's in the center of in the planchette.
It's very incredible. It's very something. It is. It really is.
Ooh, I want to see that.
I know, right?
Anything that we have not covered, but you two, now you two met by the Talking Board Society, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Society. John, you want to tell me a little history when you guys started? I'm probably the newest member of the group. I've been with the group for 8 years. I would like John to tell it. And I got invited in only because of my work with the Ouija board and many years of doing it and writing books about it, but John, you want to share a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, basically, most of us met from being collectors. And, you know, at one point, Merch, who's really like the main researcher, the guy who goes down these rabbit holes, he had discovered that Elijah Bond, who had patented the Ouija, was buried in an unmarked grave in Baltimore. And he just thought, well, this is really sad. You know, here's this guy who kind of helped create the Ouija. He's not acknowledged in any way. And, it would be pretty nice if maybe let's just try to raise some money and put this headstone in for him. And so a bunch of the collectors kind of helped raise money and did it. And it ended up becoming a very popular place in Baltimore. People know the Ouija headstone there. And it just kind of just got very, very extremely popular. And we thought, well, geez, maybe we should just keep kind of going with this, you know? And that's kind of how it started, was just raising money for Elijah Bond Stone. But, you know, eventually we became a registered nonprofit in 2013. Mm-hmm. We did something called Ouijazilla, where we celebrated. We did
Ouija Peters.
Con. Too many Ouijas.
I know. We do a lot of stuff, you guys.
We did OuijaCon.
To
celebrate the 125th anniversary of the Ouija.
2015.
Yep.
I was invited as a guest speaker. Exactly. I wasn't part of the TBHS, but I had met them all through that too.
Exactly. So Karen came out as a guest to talk at that. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got to know her from. And then, so she's pretty much been there since then, mm-hmm. which is
that's right.
very shortly after we started. So she's there from the beginning, as far as I'm concerned, you know?
Well, I was in spirit because I've been collecting boards for a long time, and I just was doing it in a vacuum, but I wasn't in the public talking about it. I don't think these guys knew who I was until, like I said, I waited 39 years to come out in the public after I'd been using the tool with my first book. And then I quickly wrote the next book, Spirits of Ouija.
Yeah.
And then that's when Robert Murch found me and then you, and I was invited to come speak because this is what I do. This is what I love. And we all share the same passion. We have different angles to it, but we all really work well together because we share the same passion of the love for the history, the facts, the tool, the people that used it. It's such a really cool community. And then we have a lot of people that just support us that come out and, you mm-hmm. know, it's really amazing.
It's great.
I met the best people through the board. Not just dead people. I met the best living people. I get to meet people like John and Rick and Robert Murch and Calvin von Crush. And I mean, it's crazy. These people I've met, and they love the same weird shit that I like. Right?
It's and I'm like, nice this is so cool. Like the same weird shit as us.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. And you don't always know you have people like that. I just, you know, I had to hide it. I was a practicing therapist. I could have been, you know, lost my license or something. excommunicated from the church of therapy or something. So yeah, I had to be really quiet about it. So it was great to meet these people and have a common bond.
So we do have a question from Dark Alchemist. If y'all could place a Regis Cella on any location, where will you place it at?
Well, we'd like the airport idea, don't we, John?
Yeah, the airport would be good, but I think it would be limited to only the people flying in and out of Denver.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I wish there was a way, you know, magically to have it on display in Salem permanently.
I would love that.
To be honest with you, I still get phone calls to the museum and people visiting who are like, "Where's the largest Ouija board?" Because every now and then, like that, the picture you threw up was a Horror Junkie. There's a few websites that every now and then, randomly, not even on the anniversary, they just randomly post the story. But none of them tell you that it was 2019. Yeah. So out of nowhere, people start coming to the museum, "Where's the Ouija board?" Or they're calling me, "When can I see it?" I'm like, so for me, I would like it to be in Salem so I could just send them across the street to see
it. Oh, that's nice.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that town would welcome it more than a lot of other towns. Like you said, John, they're very open-minded there. It's hard because you have to get a permit and who's going to want it. People, and then we got a lot of people have their own Ouija stitions and misinterpretations about the board.
Right.
So, there's a stigma there. So, but that'd be cool.
Salem, I think, would be the place that more people could enjoy it. Of course, you know, we think of Salem in October, but it's really busy year round. So that would be my first choice. I'm there. I could kind of keep my eye on it.
Right.
We'd get a lot of people visiting and seeing it. And ultimately, that's the goal, you know, putting it in a place where as many people can see it as possible.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering, is there a flight path through there where that commons is? That'd be cool. Planes fly over and can see it. Is that a flight path? Do you know?
It's not too far from Logan Airport. We're just north of Logan by about, you know, 6-7 miles by that way.
So,
yeah, I mean, you know, if they come up before they turn around to head another direction, very possible.
Because seeing it from the drone, when the drone guy filmed that, like one of the pictures you show, was this drone guy came out and got permits to do that, and it was really cool to see it from that, you know, that bird's eye view. So I still love that because you go, what? It's a shocking thing. You're not expecting to see that.
Yeah.
It is really cool. Yeah.
I like the shock factor of it too.
Yeah.
You see people's reactions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
They're so like freaked out by like a little board. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Right. And now this is a massive board.
Yeah. Well,
can you imagine that if you have, you know, like a few people on the board or something talking to the spirits, I had them go to a letter to spill out something that someone is thinking. I mean, that'd be pretty badass.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd volunteer.
We'll sign you up.
Well, you got to tell Rick to bring it back in September and we volunteer. We'll be the planchet.
Okay.
It is a really busy time.
Yeah, it is. But I just want to say thank you, both of you, for being.
Of course.
On tonight again. It's been fun. Yeah. And I think if anybody in the audience was ever afraid of the board, I don't think they will be now.
So it's all about your attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. We do have your websites and connections, emails into the comments. It will also be in the description on the YouTube channel. So, any last words that anybody want to say before we go off the air?
Well, I just want to reiterate, if you take away anything today, it's what you believe is what you receive. The board has no special power over you. You're the operator. All the power is within yourself. You're the one that's connected to the energies that flow through you when you channel. And I channel without the board too. I bring through messages. Mm-hmm. So it's really yourself. And if you can look at it that way, really matter of fact, practically, and see yourself as the one that you just get clear on that, you're going to be fine. And you're going to love these tools and you're going to love them as artwork too. I mean,
I agree. Yes.
100%.
Yeah. And John, we will see you in September.
I love it. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I can't wait.
Can't wait to see my new Ouija board.
So don't forget your budget. Yeah. So there'll be five of us traveling together. Yes. So we probably hit up there first. And probably spend as much time we can just gooing, gogging around everything.
Yeah.
So, I'm so excited. We see you in September. Most definitely.
And I'm not with any scaredy cats this time, so I'm happy.
Good.
Yeah. ABL, Coven's virtual sisters and everything. So yeah, it'd be fun.
I don't know. So. Take small town girls into a big city. Good luck.
Well, we actually got three that hasn't been there yet. But once they go there, I know they're going to want to come back.
Salem, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You guys are going to be in your home. You're going to feel home there. You're going to love everything. I know you know that. But
I was there in April, and I didn't want to leave. I'm like, do I have to go back to Iowa?
Yeah, I can be there. It's like, can I just stay here? I can be a mouse in some place.
I don't want to be part of the Children of the Corn anymore, guys.
What is wrong with that?
Yes. But anyway, thank you very much. Many blessings to you both.
Yeah.
Thank you. So Rick and Calvin, that we miss them. And maybe next time they can come on too. Because I know they probably have stories they want to tell us as well. So anyway, everybody out there, share, subscribe, and like. Jump over to Karen's and John and check out the Talking Board Historical Society, the websites.
The Witchboard Museum.
Well, the Witchboard. The Witchboard. Sorry. I was in the TBHS here mode.
Well, I'm probably going to
yes. Too. If you're in Salem, please stop by and say hi to John.
Don't be scared of the board.
Yeah, don't be scared. And have him pick one out. And, you know, just tell him if you saw him on Within the Cauldron, let him know that.
Please do.
Yeah. And that way we can take him out for dinner, too. So.
Yeah. It's not a bad deal.
You like seafood, right? Lobster and
I love it all.
Yeah.
I'm a cheap date. Don't worry. I won't go.
I was gonna say no. Let's do it. I want lobster.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Arizona. I'm in the desert. So if I'm gonna
we don't have that lobster here like I used to have in California.
I want a restaurant.
Turtles is really good. Turtles is really good.
Yeah, it is.
The longboards. Yeah. Lobster shanty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know all the places. Look at you.
Yeah. We can just.
I've been there enough.
We can just have a tour guide ourselves and just, hey, this is where we're going to go at.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, many blessings to you both.
Thank you.
And for everybody in the audience, until next time, love and light in your heart and soul. Blessings, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.